You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Find out how to make your life more meaningful and happier in general. So, we're talking about an appropriate subject today since Valentine's Day was yesterday. So many of the patients I've seen throughout my years of working as a psychologist, they talk about their relationships. I mean, that's the biggie, right? Everybody has issues with relationships and self-esteem and what's wrong with me and what's wrong with them. And they tell me how hard it is for them to find somebody special or to keep the romance flame burning in their marriage. You know, marriage rates are at an all-time low. I know, it's shocking. And divorce rates are at an all-time high. What is going on, huh? Especially in this so-called more enlightened time of our lives. We're supposed to be so enlightened, spiritually enlightened now. Didn't we have the shift? Well, today we're going to find out what's going on. And you're also going to get some ideas on how to keep good relationships, possibly how to have them, how to find them. Well, my special guest today is Craig Wilson. He's described as a lifelong and passionate connector. He's also a successful entrepreneur and musician. And of course, he's author of the latest book. It's called Dating for Life. What a great idea for a book. Has some very good ideas about finding and keeping romance. And it's so nice to have you on the show today. How are you, Craig?
It's great to be here, Dr. Michelle, and I'm glad to be sitting next to you on the couch.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Isn't it cool how we can talk on cell phones and sit on the couch at the same time?
It gives you a lot of flexibility to be where you need to be and yet still stay connected.
There you go. Exactly. You know, your book was good. I liked it. It was a comfortable read, and it also pointed out big steps for people to slowly take, to find out more about themselves, to find out how to have better relationships, and, you know, how to date for life. So I think the most important question that I want to ask you is, what led you to create this book? I mean, you're a busy guy. You're an entrepreneur in business and a very successful musician. What was it that made you say, you know, I'm going to write this book on relationships?
Well, you know, Michelle, everyone leads their own pathway, and I I'm still playing a band. I've played 1,000 weddings and anniversaries, and some of them including silver and golden anniversaries.
Wow.
And in each case, I interviewed the wedding party and the bride and groom, and I said, you know, how'd you come to be? And in the case of anniversaries, you know, what's kept you going? And in many cases, the ones that are still very happily married are saying, you know, we still date each other.
Wow.
And it kind of resonated with me. And then, interestingly, I have a recruiting firm, and I have personally interviewed and prepped 13,000 candidates.
Wow.
And Jerry Seinfeld once said that going on a date is like an extended job interview into the evening, except, of course, it's hopefully going to be a lot more fun. But there is some parallel.
Yeah.
And I've been fixing people up in the corporate world for a long time. And interestingly, there are some similarities to first-time meetings, et cetera.
Yes.
And then in my own personal journey, I found myself after a 2-year period where I didn't date at all. I was divorced, but my mother was very ill, so just wasn't dating.
Yeah.
And I actually practiced some of the things I think I preached, and I when I started dating, I just went out and I had a really good time. And I have to tell you, Dr. Michelle, I never had a bad date. It's true. 50 dates probably in 30 weeks. I never had a bad date.
Wow.
But I had a good time and ultimately met the love of my life. And so we've been happy right now for many years.
I love those stories. See, and you're living proof of your book. You practice what you preach, man. And that's great.
I am certainly practicing what I preach.
Yeah. And I've communicated with your beautiful wife as well, and I know that she is. You guys are a great match, I'm telling you. You did good.
Well, I wish I could say I had something to do with it. Ironically, a lady that I had dated and elegantly dumped fixed us up. So that's part of the moral of the story, is that always take a high road, never take the low road. And I felt that somebody I had been dating was a very nice person, somebody worth being a friend, but I just didn't see it going to the next level.
Right.
And because I think I took the chivalrous high road, she was very kind and said, when she ran into Melissa, my wife, she said, you know, I think I've got the perfect match for you. And she fixed us up.
Sounds like a pretty healthy lady to be able to do that. I know a lot of people, you know, would be scorned and text you evil things and, you know, say, how dare you? But, I mean, what a lovely thing to do. And you never know what's going to happen. You know your goal. You know what you're focused on. You know what you're trying to manifest in a relationship with someone. But you never know where it's going to come from, huh? It's just kind of cool.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And I would say that if you treat it, a lot of this is a little bit the embodiment of the golden rule. I mean, I treated every date like we were just going to have a really good time, and I wanted to engage with them. And that's part of the book again. But I never, ever had a bad date because I became friends with most of the people I went out with in one way or another, maybe a part-time, you know, occasional friend or somebody that I saw more regularly. If the romance isn't there, you can't make love happen. I don't care what cologne or perfume you're going to wear, what particular lines they set you up with on the online, you know, this is a great line. No, it doesn't work that way. Romance is romance, and it either happens or it doesn't. But the question is, what do you do when it doesn't, and how can you have a good time anyway?
That's a great idea, and that's what your book is about, too, by the way. You know, you talk about you being personally intrigued, as you put it, by the lost interest of the millennial generation in marriage. What are you talking about when you say this, and why is this going on?
Well, it is, in a way, an alarming trend. Mm. The great generation, which was referred to by Tom Brokaw, they surveyed many generations. This is a Pew Institute study, and 50% of the great generation believe marriage is one of the cornerstones of your life and a very important thing in your relationships and how you conducted your life. 20% of millennials surveyed believe that marriage is really a valuable thing to have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trend, and I think the problem here and the reason it's evolved goes back to the asynchronous sort of messaging that happened called Instant Messenger back in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And they all basically don't know what they're going to do until the last minute. My daughter used to say, hey, I'd say it's 7:30. What are you doing tonight on a Saturday? She, I don't know. You know, 8 o'clock. I don't know. 8:05. Oh, we're all going to go to so-and-so's house.
Yep.
And they all herd mentality show up.
Yep.
So that's fine, and in a way it's healthy, but in a way it's not, because they just hang together, and occasionally a couple of people find a little spark, and they splinter off from the group, and that's good. And then bottom line is they have to then learn what chivalry and what romance is all about and mutual respect for one another. The ones that don't splinter off stay in a group sometimes through their 30s or 40s, and I have to say, I'm not we handed them a tough road because some of the millennials have $26,000 average college debt. Mm-hmm. They're having to forge their way through a career, and they're focused on that more so than the romance and trying to go out. But I tell you, I talk to a lot of people who are in the millennial age bracket, and mm-hmm. they really don't understand what it is to ask someone else out and how to show them a good time.
Oh, wow. That's right. You know, by the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is Craig Wilson. He's author of the book Dating for Life. It has some terrific ideas about finding and keeping romance. If you have some questions for Craig, you can call us. Sure, go for it. 323-203-0815. If you're shy, you can email me directly if you have a question, docmichelle, docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com, and we'll try to help you out here. We'll give it a go, as it were. You know, I was reading that this book is sort of geared, your intention, Craig, is to gear this book towards men, because it seems that men need more tools. Right? Men need a little more nudging, you know, get a little more help. But the whole thing is you know that women are going to read this book, because then they're going to give it to men. And, you know,
that's exactly right. And Melissa gave me that instruct. I originally had Male Skeptic Corner pasted throughout the book, and then after the first draft, Melissa said, you really need to put a woman's perspective in there too, because they're the ones that are going to buy the book, give it to their guys, and say, hey, read this.
Yes, exactly. Maybe you can share with the listeners, and we'll get into the book and the four steps to help people. But you have these little boxes that say Male Skeptics Corner, and it's really the male psyche of sort of going against what you're trying to say, or sometimes it is negative thinking or negative belief systems or fears that men have. And, you know, you're a guy. You've been there and done that. So I think a lot of guys are going to say, oh, my God, he knows what I'm thinking. And then there's the woman's perspective, like you said about Melissa. It's kind of like, hello, this is my perspective. So, and you point out the differences between the two as well, which is great.
And it's so funny. Sometimes the differences are definitely marked by the generations. The millennials have some perspectives that are different than, for example, the senior dating crowd. But if dating for life, you know, I'm addressing people that are a first-time date, up to a 50th anniversary, who are single or have been married for a long time and with children, because that's a whole other category, or actually without children and even single parents, because that's a very difficult thing for someone raising children to also go out and have fun. Mm. But I tried to address each of those categories. And from the male perspective, I have to tell you, more than not, I'll probably lose my man card over this, but I really think guys are fairly linear, and the moral of the story is that it's up to the woman to really set the course for what she expects in a relationship. And the problem in the millennial group is too many women just will tag along and play into the, hey, let's just hang out scenario.
Yeah.
And I really think they leave themselves short in the process and compromise their integrity for what they would expect if they were on a date. Mm-hmm. My grandmother said it a long time ago. She's absolutely right, Michelle. The man chases a woman until she finally catches him. Mm-hmm. That's how the game is played.
Yep. That's true. And you know, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and when a guy tests the waters and he can get away with just, you know, showing up. I have said, as I mentioned earlier, I've prepped 13,000 candidates, and a lot of them are millennials. And, Michelle, they are so savvy in social media. They can research anything about the company they're going to interview with, the people they're interviewing. They know everything about the background, the job schmob, the LinkedIn connections, annual reports. And then that same person can show up on a Saturday, knowing that he's made a plan for 4 days with somebody, yep. and just he's got a scruffy face, and he goes, "What's up?"
And right.
They know better. And the girl that accepts that is basically that she's feeling her fate.
Yeah.
And I really think it's up to the women to hold their ground as to what they're looking for.
Yeah. So is that what you're talking about in your book, Dating for Life? With you say that it all starts with you. It all starts with you. In other words, go within and kind of figure this out, men and women. Is that what you're talking about?
In many ways, yes. Mm-hmm. If you can't be comfortable with yourself mm-hmm. and just go out and have a good time, you know, it's certainly a couple's world out there, but at the end of the day, if you're traveling, if you don't have a date, go out and have a good time. And I will say that the trends point in that direction. There are lots of meetup groups, which is meetup.org.
Oh, yeah.
There's How About We. How About We has been booming lately because mm-hmm. it's activity-driven, yeah. not relationship-driven.
Right.
It's who wants to do the same kind of event that I want to do, and, mm-hmm. and let's just meet up.
That's right.
And if you can't go out and have a good time, then the problem, and I'm, again, this is your forte, I'm sure, that you don't bring a lot to a relationship if you're depending on the other person to either make you happy
yes.
or support you or be your psychiatrist or whatever. You have to bring something to that relationship. And you know, ironically, the mm-hmm. the derivative word mm-hmm. for date mm-hmm. is a Greek term called didino. Mm. And didino means to give.
Wow.
So when you take someone on a date, it is the onus is on you to pre-plan a little bit and show them a good time.
Right.
And so, and then again, let's look at, you know, people that are down or they're yeah. depressed or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of times the very best solution to get over all that
right.
is to help someone else, focus on them, focus on what their life is about and not yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole mentality, I think, brings more to a relationship, whether it's a first-time date or it's a long-term companionship.
It does. You're so right. You know, narcissism is a turnoff, too, you know, for
yep.
a lot of women. It's like, oh, what's this guy all about? It's all about him. It's like, barf. You know, it gets really boring after a while. I have a question for you. I love this part in your book. You say, unless the magic happens, you should continue to date different women. Now, this is for guys, and women will pick up on this, too. How will men and women know what that magic is?
Well, that's an excellent question. I would say, first of all, that you, like I said, you cannot make the magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what you first start things on, and I guess the first key, it talks about this in detail, is pursue mutually agreed upon interests.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start out of the gate. A guy asks a girl out. If he doesn't know what she likes to do in advance, he's setting himself up for a problem.
Right.
Because if he takes her to some mosh pit metal band and she likes country music,
right.
He puts her in an awkward position of saying, well, do I tell him I don't want to do this, or maybe he's cute, maybe I can turn him around and all that. No,
yeah.
A guy should ask a girl, what kind of things do you like to do?
Right.
And if she reels off five different things, none of them line up with any of his interests, it's probably not a fit.
Yep.
So why go out? But mm-hmm. if you do find a few things that similarly align, mm-hmm. that's fine. Mm-hmm. And sometimes opposites can attract, but you got to start out on the right foot.
Yeah.
The magic part, that's another story. You only know that in your head and your heart.
Yep.
Now, interestingly,
mm-hmm.
70% of Americans surveyed believe in love at first sight.
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, they're true. They're absolutely on the money. A study that came out in the University of Syracuse found that in a fifth of a second, the brain releases endorphins that register the feelings of love. So when you see somebody, the heart can go pitter-patter rather quickly, and your brain can register whether you think that, you know, you're interested in that person.
Yes.
The funny part is the confirmation of love
mm-hmm.
happens from the heart.
Mm. Yes.
And the heart can take upwards of a year. One study shows in a first date, a guy knows whether or not he wants to go out with the girl again after 10 minutes on an average.
Wow.
The girl knows after an hour. Women are more complex.
Yes.
They typically have a larger checklist or whatnot. And so they're more analytical about relationship than a man. Hmm. But either way, my point is, you really don't know what you have until many times together. You may feel it initially, but you don't know that it's truly a fit, and the love doesn't really come in, you know, in a full sense until after the relationship has evolved. It's as simple as that. So you can't make the magic happen. You can only set it up for the right circumstances.
Yes.
And I would say, therefore, the second key, which I put in, four keys of dating for life, is you really have to set very little expectations. You should not be thinking, is this the one? Because what happens when the girl or the guy opens the door and it isn't the one from that initial rush, okay?
Right.
It's like, oh, God. Well, what have you done? You've set yourself up for maybe 2 to 3 hours of a disappointment versus I'm excited, I'm going out. So the engagement of a potential friend is the best way to look at this. Focus on that relationship, not on the romance.
Yes, I like
and, it. And to answer your point again, I guess, how about the magic? You really don't. You only know whether things are going in the right direction. You don't know that you really have something until you've given it the time to nurture and grow. So that's really my advice is when you feel it. But again, the reason I had so many good dates is I might have known. I knew that this baby wasn't going to go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But I still liked the person and we had a good time. So you know what? We became friends. I actually had a Halloween party for charity. I invited 8 different women that I had gone out with at different points.
Oh.
And they all showed up.
Correct.
And
you know
none of it wasn't. It was not a cat fight.
Yeah.
It was not a cat fight.
Okay. Cool. And it was fun.
Well, one of them brought a gal brought a guy that was the guy of her dreams that she'd met after me and introduced me to him. And another gal brought a bunch of gal friends. Another gal brought a first date. Some showed up stag. It was for charity, and I happened to be playing in the band, so I didn't have any date.
Right.
But it was all a group of friends getting together going, how you been? And
that's
a whole lot better scenario than the guy that, you know, doesn't even reply to the girl after a date or texts her or whatnot. It's a low road that's going to lead to nowhere.
Well, that's a great explanation. What a good story. You know, a lot of women would love guys like you who really, because that's one of the most common complaints I hear from women is, we went out on 2 dates. It seemed like we got along great. We, you know, we just had dinner and whatever. We talked and then had a few drinks and then went home. But gosh, I thought he really liked me. I haven't heard from him for 3 weeks. What shall I do? And I said, text him, call him. And then if he doesn't respond, then you know what's going on. But, you know, you followed through. You were cool. You were direct. And gosh, if only more men were like that. That would be true.
Well, I agree. Again, I think my kind, my mankind, has to learn more about mutual respect. Because you wouldn't do that in a business environment. You wouldn't meet with somebody and then just not follow up. So why do that on a date?
Yeah.
It isn't about if this is either the one for me or I have nothing to do with that individual. And I think you have to go away from that polarity of black and white and say, you know what, there's a lot of good people out there.
Yeah.
And maybe that person knows somebody that I know in a working environment, or maybe that person is going to educate me in some form of art that I didn't know existed, and all of a sudden, wow, that's cool, I didn't know that. But if you don't leave yourself open to the possibilities, you're closing doors that are going to ultimately make you a lot less fulfilled and perhaps even shallow.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Can we just briefly touch on your keys? I don't want to spoil the book because it's a really good read, guys, and I want you to check it out. But in your 4 keys to dating for life, Maybe we can just briefly touch on each, and you can sort of explain a little bit about them. Now, we did talk about the pursuing agreed upon interests, so that's key number one.
Yes, and Dr. Mishra, I have to say that even though I can talk briefly about the four keys, my book is chock full of different stories, anecdotes, and specific examples of different perspectives that point to each individual target, if you will, being first date or being a long-term marriage.
Yep.
So, but in general sense, I will say that the first key to start out any date, even if somebody that's been married for 20 years, is they know this, but always, even in especially a first date, only go out with your partner when it's something you both want to be doing. You want to pursue, you know, agreed upon interests.
Right.
Because your relationship, a new relationship starts based upon a joint interest, and an existing relationship is fortified when the partners go out and do something together they want to do. When the guy drags a girl that he's been married to for a long, long time, repeatedly, to an event that she doesn't like, ultimately that's going to manifest in something that's going to be a fight or it's just not a pleasant time.
Right.
The second key is to set no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard one, especially for women. And funny enough, is even in the millennial crowd, it's amazing to me. I've talked to hundreds of girls in their 20s, and they all know Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen. They know all the romantic novels. Right. They've been raised on American Girl dolls, and even though they're much more current and hip and all that, the bottom line is they're romantic at heart.
Yes.
And there's a huge dichotomy. Just look around in the marketplace, and girls, as a rule, are all decked out when they go out for dinners in a group or they go out with a guy. The guys are scruffy. They're basically wearing a t-shirt or just a open collar shirt with untucked and blue jeans, and it's a very interesting thing to me. Now, maybe that's a fashion statement, but to me, it's the girls are excited to be going out, and the guys are just ritually, obliging.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we're talking about. I think most girls, and surveys repeatedly confirm this, they really do want to be treated still like ladies.
Yes.
They want someone with, you know, nice clothes, nice hair, grammar. Actually, one of the interesting ones is teeth. Teeth and certainly good grooming. But it's true of any. It's true across the board. If you survey seniors, they will tell you the same thing. So almost regardless of age 15 or 75, women want that knight in shining armor to come along. And guys need to pick up on that message. Now, the male skeptic corner in my book would say, yes, but I don't want to send her the wrong message.
Yes.
I don't want her to think that I might be interested in her if I don't know if I am. So I'm not going to put on that veneer.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you're really comfortable in your own skin and you're happy with who you are, you can communicate freely about, hey, I just really want to have a good time. And opening a car door for somebody is chivalry. It's the funniest thing. I see guys in their 20s waiting for the women to go out of the elevator. I see them opening doors for other people, whether it's elderly or whether it's anything else. Yet on a date, sometimes they just, quote unquote, hang together because they don't want to send a bad message to the girl that they might be interested in her. No, get over it.
I think
it's just about communicating it. The third key is interconnect to learn and grow.
Yeah.
And the whole key to that is the purpose of living is to learn and grow. And so this is a time together. And I, by the way, have a strong advice for those on first dates. I personally was advised by all the guys I knew when I went back in the dating market. They said, hey, man, whatever you do, don't just don't take her out. I mean, it's not worth the effort. Take her to meet her at Starbucks, meet her at a bar, a quick 30 minutes. If it's not the right girl, then you can just, you know, oh, geez, I got to go look at your watch and all that.
Yeah.
And my reply to them was, well, number one, I don't like coffee. Number two, tell me how Starbucks or any of these coffee places is a conducive place to meeting somebody the first time.
Right.
And a bar depends on the bar. It could be nice and quiet, but it's typically a little bit awkward versus some sort of true activity.
Right.
And I've, right. by the way, heard, well, yeah, but I don't want to be stuck at dinner for 2 or 3 hours with somebody.
Well, yeah.
But here's the point.
Yeah.
Here's the point. Unless it's an absolute blind date,
right.
The 1,500 sites that are for dating
right.
will pair you up with anybody geographically, by various profiles. Do they smoke or not? What religion? Healthy habits? Do they have pets or not? Do they have kids or not?
Yeah.
So you already know a lot about the person you're meeting. You've talked to them on the phone several times.
Yeah.
If it's clicking, why not go do something that's fun? And I say to the guys, when I counsel them, I say, let me ask you a question here. So you've met 6 different blind dates at a bar for half an hour.
Yeah.
And it didn't fly because, number one, it's a bar or it's a Starbucks.
Right.
And what you've just done is invested maybe $15 each. That's $60 that you spent in 6 entire different evenings where you went home early. And did you really have a good time in any of them? Why not go out with one person to an event that person wants to go to, and so do you, and put the $60 toward a good time, period.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And it does make sense, because that way you have the ability to interconnect and learn and grow and have a nice extended conversation, whether it's romantic or whether it's just fun and a conversation to learn and grow. You're better off than the quick 30-second, you know, speed date, and then you're on to the next thing. And then the fourth key, finally, is the greatest virtue of all virtues, gratitude.
Yes.
And that means continually expressing gratitude, meaning, hey, I'm glad we got together.
Yeah.
It's good to see you. Why? You look nice. I'm looking forward to tonight.
Right.
It's being happy that you're doing the activity you both agreed upon.
Yeah.
It's being pleased beyond zero expectations that, hey, you know what? This is kind of fun. I enjoyed it. Now, does that mean you have to say, I love you and I want to marry you? No,
right.
I had a nice time. You know what? Maybe we can do it again. Or, you know, I really like you, but I don't know if we're going to be boyfriend, girlfriend, but it was fun going out. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Anybody will appreciate that.
Right.
And you're expressing gratitude throughout a little follow-up note or a follow-up phone call and say, you know, it was a really nice time. I appreciate it. Let's get together in the next 2 weeks. Or you know what? I got a good friend that you should meet. A pay it forward is always great. If it's not somebody you're going to go out with again, you may say, you know what? You'd be great for so-and-so. I mean, it's so easy to connect with people when you keep an open heart and an open mind.
Boy, is that true. But if more people really knew that, and in your book, you really sort of help people along there. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. My special guest is Craig Wilson. He is the author of his latest book, Dating for Life. Has some great ideas about finding and keeping romance. It is for men and women, by the way. And if you know a man in your life, ladies, who could use a little help, this is the book to get him. And it'll also give you insight as well, women, because there are a lot of little male skeptics corner thoughts going on here that you'll understand, you know, more about men. You know, something I hear a lot in my practice, Craig, is women, you know, you talk about being honest and open and just laying it out there. I mean, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know, well, you're not going to have another date. Okay, cool. What I hear, though, from women is their fear to pursue a little more or reach out, and men as well, because they don't want to come off like a, quote, stalker. You know, I just don't think there's enough communication going on with men and women. And we skew the tone of voice. We skew the real meaning behind texts and emails and all that. So, you know, don't you sort of think it's important for people to really be more assertive and and put it out there what they're feeling and thinking about that other person, like you said. You know, say, hey, this is great. I've enjoyed myself. And people are so afraid to do that, though, right?
Oh, I know. And it's, and I get the male skeptic, too. Granted, I'm gregarious. Yeah. But the point is, there are a lot of guys that go, well, man, I can't say that stuff or something. I understand that. But I do also understand that an open communication is not, it's funny, Melissa and I were driving yesterday from one town to the next, and she threw out what she thought were some good, you know, ways to open a conversation with a girl. And I said, well, I wouldn't say any one of those because it sounds like a job interview. And you don't want to do that.
Right.
And guys, unfortunately, don't get that too. And so they read up on these things and they think, I'm going to come out with this line or that line. And what it does is it puts the other person on the spot. It makes it awkward because you and I are just, what are we doing? We're chit-chatting back and forth and it's give and take. And we're kind of following a certain train of thought. When you just have canned lines, and you all of a sudden let's say we're talking, all of a sudden I came out of nowhere and said to you, Dr. Michelle, what do you think is the real key to life here, and what are your goals in the near future? I mean, you'd be going, what? Where did that come from?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, what this is all about is just experiencing a nice time out, which is again why I really feel strongly that someone that meets at a Starbucks, that is a job interview. It's like, okay, tell me how many kids you want. Because how can you, you're not really talking about the night. Boy, it's great to be here. I just love a latte caramel. No, you're basically interviewing somebody because that's the only reason you're at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
If you went out and had a good time, maybe saw, and you know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money. There's a lot of people that I talk to, they say, well, you know, we're a little, I was on a TV show this morning and one of the interns said, well, my boyfriend and I didn't have a lot of money. He had $20 and I had a little more than that. So we basically decided to just go to a movie and I treated.
Yeah.
And it was cute. But I said, you know what? You could have gone for a bike ride or flown a kite. If you're both doing something you wanted to do, it's not about the money. It's about connecting and doing something that is enjoyable,
that's
dinner. And for the quiet people, it could be going to a movie and talking about it afterwards.
Right.
That's okay. For a first date, I'd say you meet a little bit in advance and say, boy, I really want to see this movie, and so do I. And then you talk about it afterwards. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
The forced conversation is what makes women feel a little awkward because it isn't flowing. It's more like I said, a job interview.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Craig, do you mind if we answer an email? We have a quick email here, and it pertains to sort of what we're talking about. It's we had a couple of calls come up, and then they popped off. I don't know if this is one of the callers, but it's from Brian. And he says, I have sent out dozens of first contact emails to meet women at online dating services. I've gotten very few responses. I consider myself sort of good looking. I have a great job. I own my own house, and I think my presentation is pretty good. What's going wrong? And this is from Brian again. So, Brian,
my advice to you, and by the way, it's a kind of an interesting animal. There's 1,500 different dating sites, and it's just a wild and woolly world. The part of it has to do probably with your profile.
Yep.
I think you want to show it, don't tell it. Rather than say I'm good looking, just put up your picture. The market's going to decide.
Yeah.
Don't say that you're funny. Write funny, right? And then profiles with photos get twice the emails as profiles without. Do not write impersonally. Just like hi girls. Everything you're writing for that one person reading it, not for the world. So remember, when you write, put something out that would be going to the individual reader, not, hi, girls, here I am. And none of the, oh, my God, like OMG, you know, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm finally, no. You really just say, hey, you know what, I love to do these things, and make it clever, but ultimately you.
Yeah.
Keep it out of the gutter and never be negative. Be real. And I think your best bet is really do the homework on the person's profile that you're emailing to.
Yes.
And when you look at that person's personally written essay,
yeah,
more so than the checked boxes about, you know, what religion or school or whatnot.
Yeah,
yeah, read all that. But when you look at that person's personally written essay, those are going to be the telltale hints of who they really are.
Yeah.
And your ability to connect with them will be just like on a date, your ability to empathetically understand what they're about.
Wow.
And contact them, not about your house, or, and I'm not trying to, you know, criticize you, I'm really not, but not about what house you have or the fact you're good looking, but what's interesting to them, what's important
right
to them.
Yes. Great advice, Craig. Wonderful advice. Thank you, Brian, so much for emailing me. I hope that helped you out a little bit. We are getting close to the show ending here, Craig, and I'd love listeners to be able to contact you and pick up the book, because it's a really good read. Even if you're not into dating, it'll help you with your own individual discovery of who you are out there, folks. So what's the best way to get the book, Craig?
Well, the book is, if you want to go to my website, www.datingforlife.com, you can click on the links to Amazon or Amazon Kindle and certainly buy it. I encourage you to, because then you might have more questions that need answering, or you might have some perspectives. The second point I want to make is my follow-up book is actually going to be Dating for Life Stories. And if you want to sign up or contact me through the website, then I will put you on a we're going to be circulating different informational blogs, and also some actually putting together some great stories,
yeah,
amazing stories,
cool,
of people's dates and how they ultimately formed their relationship. And, mm, and boy, you'd be amazed how these things happen. There's no way to plan them. But that's the best way. Or you can just go to Amazon if you want and, you know, type in Dating for Life or Craig S. Wilson. Either way, you'll get there.
Oh, that's great. Craig, thank you so much for being on the couch here with me. It's been a pleasure. A lot of information. And by the way, everybody, the show will be up and in the archives, ready for replay or download tomorrow afternoon. I'll have all the content and also contact information on Craig. All right?
And Dr. Michelle,
yes,
my final parting, if you're married, never alter what got you to the altar. And if you're still dating, remember every day is a date with life and enjoy it.
Boy, those are so true. Thanks for sharing those with us. Have a beautiful day, and give my best to Melissa as well.
Thank you very much. You have a great day and a good weekend.
All right, thanks. All right, again, Craig Wilson. The book is called Dating for Life. And, you know, we all can date for life, whether we've been married a long time or just starting to go out on dates, discover who we are, what we want. That's the beauty of dating, too. It's going out and figuring out what we don't want, you know, sometimes. All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone. I appreciate you all listening and calling in. If you would like more information, you can always email me at docmichelle, D-O-C Michelle, with two L's at AOL.com. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works, don't you know? Have a great week. Bye-bye. Say to you.